Hi, I'm Brian Kelly, and I'm involved in radio since I was 13. I'm now 51, and still enjoying it as much as ever.
Very nice. So I guess, where did you grow up, and like, you know, what age when you first started radio?
Well, I think you said that. Yeah, that's no worries. I think the what gave me the bug was I'm from Dunleary, and Southside Radio were broadcasting from the Victor Hotel, which is very close to my home. And from that then I used to go up on Saturdays and have a look and see, and then I was introduced to a number of disc jockeys over time, and they taught me the ropes and how to do it. And then from that then I went out to Shankill, and it's a station called Sonic 228, and I was there for a number of years. And I started then when I was about 15 or 16, they gave me the opportunity to do live shows. And then my buddy started a radio station in Dunleary, and DLR, and that was a medium wave only at the time. And we used to do every weekend from Friday through to Sunday in his garage over the washing machines. So it was two. There was the washing machine, mum's washing machine, and tumble dryer, and there was a desk on top, a board, and we had our two record decks and a very old mixer in the middle. And well, in saying that, our claim to fame, I suppose, would be Mark Byrne, who went on to work on Sunshine and Radio Ireland, Today FM, and Q102 98 FM. So he started with us, so that's their claim to frame.
That's very nice. So that station, would that have been like AM, or would it have been FM, like shortwave?
So we were on medium wave on 963 kilohertz. That would have been 312 meters on the medium wave band DLR. And we're currently today, we're on 1395 AM, which is 215 meters on the medium wave. And it's energy AM, and we're a weekend station playing nothing but oldies. No new music, just music that makes you feel good.
That's very nice. So I guess as it progressed, like, who are the owners and how large did this station get, particularly during the pirate radio era?
Sure. So Southside Radio would have been owned by a guy called Andrew Coffey, or Andrew Ruan, whichever, he went over both names. So that would have been, Southside would have been quite big. It would have been before the Nova days, but a lot of the guys would have went from there into Radio Nova and Kiss FM and all these. So it would have been a feeder station at the time. And I think they were in 257 would have been the big competition for them. And they were over in the Crofton Airport Hotel, Radio City in the city. And then Southside would have covered Dunleary, Shankill, Killiney area. So they would have had a good caption from a listenership point of view, you know. There would have been, I suppose, being realistic, maybe 20 or more people working there at the time in the early, this is the early, very early 80s.
Right. Well, this was pirate radio then at this point, was it? Or was this like a community based?
Oh, no, this was commercial pirate radio. Like, if you look at Scott Williams, who is the CEO of, or the MD of Q102, he would have been one of the disc jockeys there at the time that would have been working on Southside Radio. So it just shows you where a number of presenters and people in the radio 30, 40 years ago, where it's actually come right around full circle. They're now running a lot of commercial stations. And I think they brought that experience with them. If you look at Kevin Brannigan, who runs Radio Nova, there's also Sean Ashmore would have done Breakfast Show on BLB in the very early 80s, late 80s, and he's now CEO of Classic Hits 4FM. So what I'm trying to say is a majority of the people in radio in the early 80s have taken that experience and brought it on and developed it into the commercial model we have today.
Most definitely, I can see that. So I guess you mentioned Energy FM, but back during the pirate radio stage, would your station have just been music, or would it have been a community aspect, any news involved?
No, we were commercial free, so it was a hobby station, and it's still going today as a hobby station. But we've no commercials. We're not community based. We really just play music that makes people feel good. And it's good style music. It's not heavy rock. It's not disco. It's a bit of everything that you can sit back, put the radio on the background, and enjoy. Where a lot of the commercial stations don't have that ability anymore. They're working off a playlist. We're not.
Yeah. So I guess back during those days, was there any issues of you getting raided or jammed at the time?
Sure. At the time in the early 80s, what would happen would be you'd be made aware that it would be time that you maybe close your station down or move it on, from a point of view is that it wasn't the right thing to be doing. We never actually physically got raided. We certainly had a contact with the Post and Telegraphs in the early 80s, where we were advised that it would be a good idea as students not to be running these type of things from your house.
So you were just getting warnings more so, to cease and desist?
I think it was a decent warning where they were, what would we say, sympathetic to our plight, and we weren't commercial, so therefore we weren't doing it for profit. And they said to us, listen, you know, I think it's an idea that you switch off that transmitter. It's not a good thing to have on. And you took that on board, you know, for a couple of months, and then you went back on and you're rocking on.
Temporary hiatus kind of thing. So I guess, do you know, have any interesting anecdotes, I suppose, about the time before, like back when it was still Pirate Radio, interesting anecdotes about what this station was dealing back then?
Sure. I think before Sunshine came and Radio Nova, Chris Carey, which really changed the dynamics of radio in Ireland for the better in many senses. It was very commercial, professionally driven. The disc jockeys and presenters were very professional. And I think that changed the era of Pirate Radio, where before that, you had Tom, Dick and Harry and Johnny setting up in their back garden and for a week or two or whatever. And I think that changed the dynamics of the radio substantially, even to where it is today. In the early days, I think a lot of the people who got into radio at a young age have done very well out of it since. If you look, the majority of the older presenters, I hate to say older, but 40 plus presenters on radio today would have actually come through Pirate Radio. They didn't walk in off the street. They came from a Pirate Radio background. And I think that's giving the experience and knowledge to the new generation.
How popular was your station during those years? I guess before and after the rise of Sunshine and Radio Nova, for example.
Sure. Well, we were DLR when we went on FM on 106. And there was a non-official survey done by, I think, Lansdowne at the time, Market Research. And we were showing DLR was actually the most listened to radio station in South Dublin at the time. And it was actually more than the Nova and Sunshine at the time. Because it was all local based. There were local guys and girls. And it was at night then we focused very much so on specialised programmes that related to special types of music, gender, etc. So, yeah.
So I guess, talk to me then, I guess, about the end of 1988 when the pirate stations were forced to close, new legislation came in. Like, what was your station doing at the time and how did it react to that sudden change?
Well, we were broadcasting only at weekends at that time and we took a decision at Christmas of that year to actually cease broadcasting. And we did that for a number of months and then we actually came back on and we've been on ever since.
So do you now have a license, or what's the transition period?
Sorry, a what? We're pirates here. A license? You don't know what you're talking about here. We're providing a service to the ESB using their electricity every weekend. No, all joking aside, listen, we're on AM. We don't interfere with anybody. We're not commercial, and it's very niche. I think the majority of people who listen to AM radio would be radio anorexics, and so therefore, I don't think we would be of a major concern or threat to the FM stations that are there today, and we're not commercial, so therefore I don't think we're seen on the radar.
That's very interesting. Would you know of any other stations that are similar to you still going to this day without a license?
Well, there is a number of FM stations that are popping up with different genres of music, in a sense. They've got rock, dance music, etc., and they seem to come and go all the time. There don't seem to be any consistency in them, and then you've got a few stations that are local, maybe just for, when I say local, maybe for a 5 mile, 2 mile radius of where they're based. But we're based in South Dublin. We're there since the early 80s, late 70s, and we're still going. But like I said, we're weekends only. We're not commercial, and we just do it for the enjoyment of radio.
That's very nice. I guess during those years, I don't know what you have now, I guess that's compared, but back then, what was your setup like during the Pirate Radio era? And is it still similar to this day, or has it upgraded?
No, it's been very much upgraded. When we were in the very early days, we would have had a small 80-watt medium-wave transmitter, which would be quite small, and we would have had a mixer and a BSR, which was the famous record decks of the 70s and 80s that were made in the UK, and they were as sturdy as anything, but they were for home hi-fi and white, and we would have had two of those and a tape recorder. And on Sunday afternoon, we'd go into my house at 5 and we'd listen for Tommy Vance, BBC, Radio 1, Top 40 of the week, and we'd have the tape ready and we'd record the songs, all the pop songs for the week, and we'd have those all ready then for the following week. Then from that then we did upgrade a number of years after that, and we bought a proper commercial broadcast desk Soundcraft, which would be one of the big manufacturers, and that was ex-BBC. And we've now downsized that recently, and we've purchased a very nice small mixing desk, and also a computer program that generates your music files for you. So do we like using it? We prefer to do everything manually. Like if we're doing a show, a live show, we'll actually take out the CDs and we'll continue. And maybe the odd vinyl, because we'd love to play a bit of vinyl, hear the crackling at the start. But most of our music now, to be truthful, is coming on is coming by computerized process system. So it is a little bit different.
I see. So it's definitely changed. It's very interesting to see that this, you know, pirate station still going. What would your current staff be now? How many people are involved in it to this day?
Oh, well, there's only actually two of us, believe it or not, and that's why we're automated most of the time. So we would do about 6 hours live shows over the weekend at any one time. And I think what we do is we try to play music that no one else is playing, and that makes us that little bit different. And I think, like I said to you earlier, we're anoraks, so I think it's only anoraks listen to AM, we hope.
Have you had any issues like since 1988 when the new legislation was brought in? Has anyone ever tried to crack down or make any warnings to you since then?
No, we've never had any warnings because we ensure that we're not interfering with any other services. And I think, like I said to you, we only broadcast at weekends, so we're not on FM, we're not on the internet, so we're not promoting a commercial entity.
Fair enough. I guess to go back to one of my earlier questions, I guess, is there any, like you've mentioned that you're now with Energy FM, what other did you were involved in any other pirate radio stations over the years?
Yes.
Or was it made this one?
Sorry, yes, I would have been involved with Sonic 228 and then another station, Nova Southside. And Nova Southside was a project by a gentleman who had ill feelings to Mr. Chris Carey, who had set up Radio Nova. And what he did was he rebroadcast Radio Nova. But when their adverts were coming on, he actually slotted in his own local adverts. And so he was pirating their programs again and putting his advertising on at the same time. And I helped him for a while. And then we also, I was involved, I worked on some shows on Sonic 228, which would have been an AM station in the early 80s in South Dublin also. And they were going for about 2 years. That was quite good, yeah.
Any remember good stories working with those radio stations either? Or?
They are definitely not to be discussed at any time on any recording for the future or for now.
Well, that's all the questions I have. I say thank you very much, Brian Kay. It's been a pleasure speaking to you.
Thank you very much, and I hope you, some years' time, someone will look at these and listen to these and say, what on earth were they talking about? What's radio?